bend my knees before you, recognizing, Lord, that this is the blessed Sabbath day. Father, you're as near as the mention of the name of Jesus. But I thank, bless, and praise you that on the Sabbath, you're closer than that. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would be pleased to tabernacle yourself among us. That, Father, you may send the physician that we call Jesus, the man of Nazareth, the man of Calvary's cross, the man that sits on the right hand of power, to come through this room, to move, and to touch, and to remove, and to plant himself as supreme in the life of each and every person. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you might give us the Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear Father, that he may stay to seal us and to hinder us, that we may be saved at the coming of our Lord and Savior, when he shall set up his kingdom upon this earth and reign forever and ever and ever, and deliver up the kingdom unto his Father, and then come down and we reign forever. In Jesus' name, of course, that when you bow before the remnants of worship, amen. I will listen to the Lord. Good morning, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I'm sounding sad and happy, so I won't ask you to do anything. I have a very interesting subject. I had what I wanted to talk about, and then I felt compelled to talk about something else. Matthew chapter 24. We have Elder Chamberlain and Elder Patterson assisting us in reading. Elder Chamberlain thought that he was going to wander off from my side. I said, it's not the same. It's not the same without a wand by my side. You know, my dad, his name is Juan, and he's not here, so it's not the same without at least one wand by my side. You understand what I mean, Juan?
Amen. Amen.
You got
it.
Matthew 24, starting at verse 15.
When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take any out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For when shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall, nor ever shall be.
You know, I find it appropriate every now and then to tell my favorite allegory. My favorite allegory is about truth. Truth was on a journey, headed to a village that was hungry and thirsty for the truth. And while truth is headed down that way, he began to get a little hot. And he noticed that a pool or pond was just up the way. So truth decided to take off his clothes and take a swim. Later on, down that same road, while truth is taking his swim, here comes Lie. And Lie was hot too.
And Lot was dust beaten from the road. And Lot saw the same pond and wanted to take a swim. But when he noticed that Truth was swimming in the pond, he decided not to swim. He didn't want to embarrass himself, you see. But instead, he got a brighter idea. He saw Truth's clothes hanging on a tree limb and decided to take off his garments and put on the garments of Truth. And that's exactly what he did. Headed to that same village that's hungering and thirsting for the truth. After a while, they spot him, and all the people start rejoicing because they see the clothing of Truth. But then when he opened his mouth, they understood that he was a lying wonder. And then some of the people were confused because they saw Truth, and yet at the same time, they're hearing a lie. They're seeing Christ, but yet the preacher is preaching something else. Paul said, preach the word, because they're preaching everything else but the word. And then they get confused and they divide themselves up into congregations, into denominations, into cults, into organizations. They divide themselves and become atheists, agnostic, they and every other that don't want anything to do with God. And after all of this occurs, Truth finishes swim. And he got out of the water, and he's looking for his clothes. And he says to himself, of a truth, I hung my clothes on this tree limb. And of a truth, these are not my clothes. And of a truth, these are lies clothes. So Truth said, no, I'm not going to put on these clothes. You understand? See, truth is a principle. Truth is an umbrella. There's no such thing, by the way, as his truth, her truth, their truth. Truth is a definite article. It is an umbrella that encompasses everything that is right. That's truth. Of a truth, if you go up the Sears Tower and jump off, no matter what you believe, no matter what your truth is, that gravity don't exist, I guarantee you jump off, we will discover the truth. So, Truth goes naked down that road because he says, I will not embarrass myself with lies garments. And here he is, naked, going down the road. And then somebody spots him afar off, and they begin to shout and say, hallelujah, here comes the naked truth. I hope y'all read this morning because I can't preach nothing else but the naked truth. I'm not preaching against anybody. I love everybody. It's just the fact that everybody ain't going to glory. Amen? So let's begin. I want to take you to Daniel chapter 2. You know, there is a more sure word of prophecy. I like how the original Greek puts it. It doesn't say there is a more sure word of prophecy. There is a more sure word, prophecy. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
And do you understand what Peter was comparing to be what is the sure word? He was talking about with his own eyes, he had seen the Messiah. With his own hands, he had touched the Messiah. He said, well, honey, there's something more sure than that. Prophecy. Are y'all getting me? Let me put it this way. You know that when the last days are upon us, and when the prophecies are fulfilled, I believe it's Revelation 13:17, that says that three unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. These are spirits that go about in all the earth, working miracles to deceive all that dwell on the earth. Don't you know that your five senses are not going to be able to be trusted? That's why Peter is saying, no matter if I handled him, no matter if I heard him, the more sure word is the prophecies concerning him. Everything about Christ is how he came. From his birth on down, there's more proof that Christ is as human as Julius Caesar.
Come on now.
Serious. And I'm telling you, we have a more sure word, prophecy. Why? Because Jesus tells us that the enemy is going to come impersonate him. Mm-hmm. He's going to sound like him. He's going to look like him. Yeah, all of that. Going to perform miracles or seem to perform miracles like him. And your voice, your five senses are not going to be able to be trusted. You're going to have to trust one thing and one thing only. Thus saith the Lord. And let's go to Daniel 2. God gave us a sure word to make sure that we are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. God, even he is so good that he doesn't even allow you to be lost in the stream of time. The old Adventist preachers used to say, where are we in the stream of time? Down in the image of iron and clay, weak and divided and soon to pass away. You remember that, acquaintance? What shall be the next coming conflict? What shall it be? Christ coming and his eternity. You remember that clay with preacher in the tents? You know. Daniel 2. Now, Daniel 2 is a result of Daniel 1. I say it again, Daniel 2 is a result of Daniel 1. And Daniel 1, he is encountered with the test of his dying. And Daniel remembers that God had given certain requirements about his dying. And then he's presented, now listen, they preserved his life. They didn't kill him, okay? Like they killed others. And y'all know that they mowed down the Jews, right? Y'all know that. And Daniel, Hananiah, and Uriah were saved. And they were put in the kingdom of Babylon. But the requirement was he had to learn the language of the Chaldeans, learn the ways of the Chaldeans, learn how to dress like the Chaldeans, and learn how to eat like the Chaldeans. And Daniel said, hold on. I'm a Hebrew. I can't take off my garments. The Lord told me to wear a blue fringe around my garment. He told me to wear blue fringes around the hems of the arms of my garment. I can't take my garments off. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And Daniel wasn't willing to do that. Daniel was not willing to eat what the king put before him. Things that are strangled, the blood and fat is still in it. Should I go there, Mr. Health Man? Huh? The blood and fat still in the food? We know as Adventists we're not supposed to eat it. Leviticus 17:11, all you Adventists, what does the Bible say? The life of the body is where?
In the blood.
And the fat is used for what? Sin offering. Right? Yeah. So we don't eat it. That's what the Bible tells us. Yeah. None of humanity eats it. Matter of fact, God was so specific with Noah, he says the person that eats it, he's going to require it and his blood on his own head. That's what the Bible says. So Daniel is given this test of diet, and he decides he's not going to defile himself with the king's meat. And because of this, God pours upon him this great abundance of intellectual strength. Don't you know that the fat and stuff that he would have been eating, do you know that it would have been clogging the blood so that no oxygen could get to the brain as it should? So even if he had eaten, he couldn't think as clear as he should have. And you know, predicated off of Daniel's diet and Daniel's God, that his wisdom was 10 times wiser than everybody else in that kingdom. So now, because he was faithful in his diet, now God can trust him. Understand? Amen. So Daniel 1, Daniel 2 is the result of Daniel 1. Fidelity to his diet. Ooh, boy, I'm going to get off there because I don't want to whoop y'all, but you know.
Whoop.
Ooh, all right, whoop. Man, y'all look at John the Baptist. Huh? John the Baptist was to prepare the way of the Lord, wasn't he? John had instruction come straight to his daddy concerning him. He said, listen, don't let that boy drink no strong drink. Don't let that boy eat no grapes. Don't let that boy eat nothing that is contaminated. Don't listen. He is to be special. He is the forerunner of the Messiah. Don't y'all know that that's what we are? Forerunners of the Messiah? We are special. Don't you know in the hive where bees and in the nest where ants, don't you know that the queen gets a different diet than the rest? Don't y'all know that? Gets a different diet than the rest. Why? Because she's special. Why? Because the survival of the hive is dependent upon her. This world will be in a very bad way if it were not for Christians. This world would be in a very bad way if it wasn't for Seventh-day Adventists. This world would be in a very bad way if it was not for Mount Zion. And that's the gospel truth. Now let's proceed on. Daniel 2, y'all know the story. King has a dream. He can't remember it, but he can't forget it. And he's so troubled by it that what ends up happening? He calls everybody in, and he wants everybody to interpret, and nobody can give him the interpretation. And he says, listen, and they said, well, King, tell us the dream, and then we'll give you the interpretation. He said, no, I see what y'all trying to do. Y'all trying to wait till a later time passes on so that my wrath can cool down and y'all be okay. He said, but if you can't tell me the dream with the interpretation, there's but one decree for you. I'm going to cut off Ain't nobody could make a decree, so the king said, kill them all. Every wise man that I just spent thousands and thousands of dollars invested into their education and their diet and their lodging, kill them all. Wait a minute. But guess what? The Hebrew boys weren't called in. So now Daniel and his friends, they got to get killed too. And the captain says, come on, Daniel, you know you're my buddy, but I got to kill you. Daniel's like, wait. Let me go before the king. I wasn't called in, and God was good in doing that, wasn't he? He gave Daniel an advantage. See, when you serve God, he'll give you an advantage that your enemies don't have. Yes. And see, they didn't have the time that Daniel had. Daniel had a whole night to deal with that situation, didn't he? And he went to go talk to Jesus about it in the morning. God, and at night, God gave him the dream that the king had in the interpretation. And that's where I want to take you. Daniel 2. We have a more short word of prophecy, don't we?
Yes.
Wait. See, I know what Juan is on. I'm going to let him go ahead and do it. I know what Juan's up to. Go ahead to verse 27. I was gonna jump ahead because I know we have a time frame. But I know what Juan is trying to get to. Y'all going to laugh when he's, you know. Go ahead, Juan.
Daniel chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Let's start at verse 27 and read. Mm-hmm. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers
show? All these folk on your payroll, can't they tell you something?
But there is a God in heaven.
Come on now.
And reveal his secrets and make it known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy head, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Mm-hmm. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go into the interpretation of it. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king.
Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven have he given into thine hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another king, and fear to thee.
Okay, let's stop. Now, I believe in prophecy with dual application, okay? So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we see something that has like a dual application, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, which is basically break down both of them. And basically, first you go with what the Bible literally says. Who's the head of gold, the Bible says? Babylon.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. He next read that another kingdom inferior to him shall arise, correct?
Right.
Now, we know from history what it is, but did you know that the Bible literally pinpoints who it is? Daniel 6, please. We're going to go all the way down to Rome. Daniel 6. Daniel 5. And start at the beginning of the chapter. Give me verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down when they call Daniel, okay?
Amen. Daniel 5. Verse chapter 5, verse 1 and read. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar.
The Bible was very specific. He wasn't even drunk. He just had tasted some wine. Okay? And he got a dumb idea. Why? Because he courted a spirit. I could tell y'all more about that. I'd be brief. Revelation chapter 18 tells us that all the nations of this world were deceived by the sorcery of Babylon. Okay? The word sorcery or, yes, the word sorcery in the Greek is the word pharmaceutical. In English, it's the word pharmaceutical or pharmacy. Okay? So basically, anybody that is selling drugs, anybody that is drinking alcohol, anything that is to take away the sobriety because the devil wants the mind. That's why Peter says, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly. Honey, you are consenting to witchcraft. The one that's giving it to you, he is the sorcerer, or she is the witch. You're consenting to have your mind taken over by the devil. Why do you think when they get high, why do you think they do stupid stuff? Understand?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you believe you can fly. One young man got so drunk, wasn't at the Sears Tower that Griffin had to cover that case with the two boys racing down the hallway, and the one boy couldn't stop himself and went out the window on in the Sears Tower. When that one in the Sears Tower, before they closed the Willis Tower, went out the window. By the time he got down to the ground, he was already dead. When they looked at his remains, it wasn't nothing but splat. Dead on impact. Why? Because something took his sobriety away.
The devil
did it. No, Flip Wilson may have been right. The devil did make him do it. Oh, the devil made you dress like a woman. I'll leave that alone and I'll go back to my
subject. That's the next one, sir.
Thank you. Next one, sir.
Good boy. But I tell you one thing. You know, okay.
Strange thing.
So I just let y'all know, you know, I hope y'all hear me that diet is very important, okay? Yeah. You know, during slavery, the slave's diet is how you actually made it. Say there was a lot of pork they used to get. The slave diet and his workload is how he made it. You know, they used to make them be barefoot and mud and in clay, right? Mm-hmm. You know that when you work in the earth, you know that you pull an energy. Come on, woman. You know you pull it. You know the earth is giving you energy, right? You know that, right? Yeah. You know when you touch the ground, you know you're receiving probiotics, right? You know when you step in clay that impurities are coming out of your body, right? That Mississippi Red River clay, right?
Yeah.
Pulling impurities out of your body, right? You know that though they weren't getting good food, they gave them potluck and they gave them the heels of the cornbread. You know all the nutrients is in the heels of the cornbread, right? And all the nutrients is in the potluck, right? And you know that even to this day, you know, them old school brown eyes is from Mississippi. They give that baby some potluck, and when that baby is premature, that baby gets strong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
How do you know about that?
My grandmother is from Mississippi.
Amen.
That's how I know. Amen.
That's some ancient truths.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, we're going to continue on. So, Daniel chapter 5, the Bible tells us that Daniel starts interpreting to him what the dream is. And he hits it at verse 25. Scroll down to verse 25 and let's begin. The writing on the wall.
Daniel chapter 5.
This bloodless hand that wrote on the wall out of the sleep of night. Let's get it.
Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 reads. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God has numbered thy kingdom and finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanted.
Have mercy.
Paris. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the meek and given to the Medes.
Wait. What happens to his kingdom, y'all?
It's divided.
Another king inferior to thee shall rise up. You know, Babylon was so confident When they saw the Medes and the Persians lead together, they lead together to come and conquer Babylon, right? The Babylonians shut the gates just for caution's sake. And they got up on their walls and they laughed and scoffed at the Medes and Persians. And they threw them food so they can survive, because it's going to be long, it's going to be eternity before you get in here. So let us feed you and throw them food and laugh at them, right? There was a man by the name of Cyrus, who his birth and Alexander the Great's birth, I love them both. Cyrus, his granddaddy received a dream, a dream that a flood came into his kingdom and filled his whole kingdom all the way to his throne, and then eventually killed him. And somebody told him that that interpretation is your grandson that your daughter is getting ready to deliver, and he's going to be the head of your kingdom. Well, guess what he does? His baby girl, she delivers that baby. He demands that a soldier take him out and kill him. The soldier takes the baby out, looks at the baby in the forest, and he ain't got the heart to do it. So he just leaves the baby on a rock, and he just sends maybe a wild beast or something to get him. While the soldier goes off, a shepherd, him and his wife had just lost their child. And the shepherd is coming with his baby lined up to bury his baby, and he sees this live baby right here. He buries that baby, takes the live baby back to his house, and raises him as his own. And he grew up with the trade of a shepherd. So when you read the book of Isaiah, when he calls him Cyrus, my shepherd, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that hit him to the core. Don't nobody know what was my occupation? Didn't nobody know that? This God must be God. And when you open up the book of Ezra, the first thing that you read is Cyrus praising our God and saying, go back and build the city of your God, for I know that he is God. Because he got personal with him. He even told him how he would take over the city. He said, I have loosed the lungs of kings to open up the two lead gates of Babylon. Y'all know where the lead gates was? That wasn't the original gates for the entry of Babylon. No, honey. Those gates were under the Euphrates River, where he cut off the Euphrates River and detoured all the water into ditches and dams. And while they were walking underneath, there was two gates that were on the side by the city, and God opened them up, and they went through those gates into they went through the sewage system and went into the kingdom. That's what happened. Yeah. God is good, isn't he? A more sure word of prophecy, right? Yep. Let me hasten to my subject. Now, we have just discovered the first two kingdoms. Now, we can't discover any further unless we go to the 8th chapter of Daniel. Then you understand the 7th chapter of Daniel, because the 8th chapter of Daniel ain't nothing but a title. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to the 8th chapter of Daniel. See, I think it meet for you. Though you be establishing the present truth, every now and then you got to hear what made you who you are. And I have no problem reminding Adventists that you are Adventists. I've worked with them and have been a constant reminder that you are an Adventist. I am friends with some of them, and I'm a constant reminder that they are an Adventist. Yeah, you can come in with your eyes, you know, they get tired of you after a while. And you can't say what you want to say to them because, you know, before you say it, they're not trying to hear it. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my friends, I always was fascinated how bright white and how white the teeth of Adventists were. I was always fascinated by that. And I knew that my friend was very vain and thought himself to be very handsome. So, you know, I didn't say that because I knew that that's where the word would seep. The Holy Ghost said, get him there. I said, okay. I said, look at your eyes and your teeth, man. You're becoming so young. I said, one thing you still admire about that man is how light your eyes and teeth work. I said, man, you better slow down, man. You know, get him at the core. And he went away with that. Yeah, you better, whatever you're doing, you better stop because it's showing. My wife said something that's very true. The flesh is a mirror of what's happening in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
That's why I can't see me. When I see you, I'm seeing what I, you know what I mean? That's why I have compassion on my fellow man. Because I'm seeing that go high, but by the grace of God. Whatever condition that you in, that could be me. So I have compassion on you. You understand? And you should have compassion on me. Let's continue. Okay, now we're going down to the next part of the kingdom. We're going to go over to Daniel 8 to get interpretation. Will you guys still go to 8 with me?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Then we're gonna cover finally this little subject concerning the abomination of desolation. See, don't take long to preach a subject. It's just that the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and I know the day and age that we're in, so I gotta do a lot of plowing before I sow seeds. Amen? Amen. Okay. Amen. Daniel 8.
Daniel chapter 8.
Let's start at verse 4.
Daniel chapter 8, verse 4, and read. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with it. And he was moved with
power
against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand.
Okay, let's skip. Now we need some interpretation of what that is. Verse 19. Same chapter. Verse 19.
And he said, behold, I will make thee known what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia.
Hey. Medes and Persians showed up again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Right? And the ram we just saw got whooped, didn't it?
Yep.
Right? So that means Media Persia eventually is going to fall, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's continue.
And the rough goat is the king of Greece.
Who whooped him?
Greece.
Greece. The Bible says so. So we know what at least four of those kingdoms are. Babylon being one, three. Media Persia being the other one, and then Greece being the third, right? Okay, now do me a favor, Juan. Flip back over, and let's see what happens to this ram. Verse 8.
Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken.
Do you know Alexander the Great marched his army 7 years straight? 7 years straight, he marched his army all the way up to the borders of India until his men decided that they weren't going no further until they could go back home. And Alexander was quite, discomfited, displeased, whatever words you want to use. Then number one, there was really no more of the known world that he could conquer. And number two, at that time, Alexander was practicing sexuality. He was seeing another man.
Right.
And he was in love with this individual, and guess what? He died in battle. And Alexander couldn't shake the grief. And he kept drinking. And he drunk himself into alcohol poisoning. And Alexander is on his deathbed, getting ready to die. Remember, y'all, this is miles and miles away from home, okay? Alexander, on his deathbed, and all his generals come in. Originally, it was 10, okay? But only four of them were the strongest and the best.
Right.
And Alexander said, and he wanted to know, who are you going to give the kingdom to? He said, let the kingdom go to the strongest, because he didn't have a child. You'll read that in Daniel chapter 11, the beginning of Daniel 11. It says that he had no prosperity, which means he had no children.
Right.
That first king, he had no children. So it was divided among his four generals who tried to fight against one another but found out that this one is just as good as I am. And they divided the kingdom into regions of east, west, north, and south. Y'all remember, Cleopatra? Mm-hmm. Cleopatra was the daughter of one of his generals, Ptolemy. Y'all didn't know that, did y'all? Ptolemy had the south kingdom. So when you read in Daniel chapter 11, and it's talking about the king of the north and the king of... Was that the girl that was messing with Caesar?
Yes, that's the one who,
Caesar and Mark Anthony.
She seduced Caesar and Mark Anthony.
The queen of the South, or the king of the South, was her daddy. Her daddy was Ptolemy. We'll talk about that in 1 second, because, you know, that deals with the abomination of desolation in 1 second. Okay, so we realize that we have the first kingdom, Babylon. Come on, the first kingdom is who?
Babylon.
The second kingdom is who?
Medes and Persia.
Come on, y'all. Second kingdom is who?
Medes and Persia.
The third kingdom is who?
Greece.
So the Bible tells me that Greece grows strong. And out of one of his horns, so the one horn was broken, divides into four. And one of his horns grows stronger than the others. And where did the horn come from? Let's read it. Right here. Verse 8, verse 9.
Okay. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And out of one of them came forth a little horn,
mm-hmm.
which waxed exceedingly great toward the south.
He didn't come from the south.
And toward the east.
He didn't come from the east.
And toward the pleasant land.
Jerusalem was north in Babylon, all right? Mm-hmm. So where did he come from?
West.
The west.
That's right.
Rome was west in the empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's continue.
And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars of the ground, and stamped upon them.
Daniel 7. Let's cover this subject. Daniel 7.
Daniel 7.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to verse 8.
Daniel 7, verse 8, mm-hmm. read.
Four beasts of Daniel are the same four beasts. I just ain't got time to cover it and yet stay on time. The four beasts of Daniel, Gabriel is coming and trying to tell Daniel, okay, remember what I told you in Daniel chapter 2? Okay, I came over to Daniel chapter 7, you didn't quite understand it. I'm going to come over to Daniel chapter 8 and tell it to you. Okay, you still ain't understand it, you just faint. Okay, he gets well, he come over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is like, wait, let me understand this. What is he talking about? This 2300 thing, what is he talking about? Daniel still don't understand. He come over to Daniel chapter 10 and say, listen, when you were praying, I would have come immediately over in Daniel 9. But the reason I couldn't, you know, it's a 21-day period between Daniel 9 and Daniel 10, right? Gabriel was dispatched immediately, couldn't get there because somebody met him on the way. Why did he meet him on the way? Because this pagan king, you know, that was worshiping the devil. So listen, basically the devil is claiming this territory to be his. Remember? Do you guys read all of the Gospels? Did y'all read, I believe it's in the book of Luke, The Temptation of Christ, and how the enemy was bold and told Christ that not just all, he said that all the kingdoms of this world, of the world, are mine, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Y'all remember when Christ was going to go to the cross?
Yeah.
Christ said, the prince of this world, he's coming, but hath nothing in me. No answering accord for temptation, all right? He has no foothold in me. I have nothing secret and unconfessed. I have nothing unsurrendered, okay? That's why when, who's that? Oracle. When she was up here doing her component, she said, whatever's master, eventually it's going to show itself.
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on, Sister Lord, amen.
So, here it is, in this part of the kingdom, this horn raises up, and Daniel is getting a vision of it. Now, in chapter 10, what ends up happening is Gabriel is resisted because he was supposed to go and convince Artaxerxes, let him go. He, guess what? You know why Satan was fighting him? Because if Gabriel gets there and convinces Artaxerxes, then Christ will come. But Satan's mission is always to keep Christ in heaven. He tried to keep him in heaven before he came. If I can just hold him back and prevent this prophecy from coming to pass, I'll man up and meet Gabriel myself. If I can man up and keep Gabriel for a few more days, and then Jesus said, no, 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 honey, I don't stay in heaven, I come down. And he sent him running. That the prophecy concerning the Messiah might be fulfilled. Because we were one day late, we would not have a Savior. Understand? And the same thing is happening right now. Jesus is in heaven. And guess what the enemy is doing? Busy among his people, trying to keep them sinners. I was kind of the first person to point it out. You know, when they was at the gravesite, he tell all the demons, stay right here. I'll be right back. And then he goes, but I thought about it, I said, why would he go to the disciples? Why? Because it doesn't matter if Jesus got resurrected. If ain't nobody believing, there's a bridge between the work of Christ and the saints of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's my subject, the abomination of desolation. The breach between Christ and his people. Can we go there now?
Yeah,
y'all look like y'all ready now. Y'all look like y'all woke now.
Yeah.
I'm going now, right? Let's do it. Let's go. Daniel 7, please.
Daniel 7.
Mm-hmm. That's verse 8.
Verse 8.
I consider. Come on.
I consider the horns and the hell that came up among them, another little horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man.
Wait a minute. Okay. What in the world does the beast represent? Can we go to the 23rd and 24th verse? What does the beast and these horns represent? Let's go.
23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down.
So the beast?
And break it in pieces.
The four beasts are four kingdoms, right?
Yes.
Okay, go to verse 24.
And the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall.
So the horns are who? Kings, right?
Ten kings.
Okay? Now. The Bible tells me that one, let's use the Bible's vernacular, one king rises up among the other ten kings. And by the demand of this one king, three kings were removed. But not just removed, but plucked up by the root. You take anything up by the root, honey, it ain't coming back.
Right.
He completely extinguished three kings. Not only that, the Bible says he has eyes and he has a mouth speaking great things. What does the Bible say that eyes represent? 1 Samuel chapter 9, please. First Samuel 9:9. King Saul. Israel had rejected the Lord of being their king. So God said, oh, that's okay. You can have a king. And the king that you have, he's going to tax you. He's going to take everything that is goodly of yours, your daughters, your sons, your crops, everything. That's okay. You want a king? Go ahead. Hail Caesar. Go ahead.
1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, and read, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer.
Wait a minute, y'all. The Bible says those eyes mean that he is a prophet. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's a prophet. And with his mouth, the Bible says in verse 24 and 25 of Daniel 7. Now let's go there again. He's a seer. He's a prophet. What kind of prophet is he? Y'all just can't tell me that. Y'all got to show me from the Bible. I just can't say false prophet is good. It sounds right, but I got to show me from the Bible.
Daniel chapter 7, verse 24.
Yeah,
and the ten horns
24
out
and
this,
25.
The ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall speak great words against the most.
Woo! What he's speaking, y'all?
Great words.
He's speaking against Christ.
That's right.
He prophesied. That's what he doing. He prophesied. He's speaking against the Lord.
That's right.
Read the rest of it.
And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws.
Ooh.
And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times.
Do you guys know in the original Greek when it says that he shall think to change times and laws? Do you guys know what it really says? It says he shall think to change times, even the law. Huh?
Right.
He shall think to change times, even the law.
That's
coming. Honey, that's trying to tell you he's changing something about the law that deals with time.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Come on, huh? He's changing something about the law that deals with time.
Making it all count.
And he's speaking against God. So this ain't no natural law he's dealing with. This is God's law he's dealing
right.
with. So what part of God's law did he venture to touch that deals specifically with time?
The Sabbath.
Y'all can't just tell me that. You gotta show me a scripture. Right?
Exodus chapter.
We Bible based Christians. Come on now.
Amen.
I love it, baby. Come on, Jesus. Exodus chapter 20. Y'all quoted it this morning, verse 8 and 11.
Through 11.
8 through 11. Thank you, bro. Go ahead, sister. Science. I love it, baby. Come on.
Remember
the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy slave, nor thy
slave.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in it is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
I use my voice.
That's the commandment in chapter.
Yes.
And our question is, why? Why? Why was he so interested in the Sabbath of all commandments? Why was he so interested in the Sabbath?
Because the Sabbath is
so. Can I take 3 minutes to tell you why?
Yeah, it's open to the
break it down.
I done messed around and asked Zionists, can I teach you the Bible? They like, please. Okay. So now, the subject matter that I'm getting ready to tell you about unveils who the Antichrist is and unveils his plan. And did you know that Jesus taught about the Antichrist before the Antichrist appeared? When he taught in Matthew chapter 24, and he said, because of the love of me, iniquity shall abound. No, because the love of many has waxing cold, the iniquity shall abound. Jesus was talking about the dark ages. And he was specifically pointing to iniquity, which is willful sin, premeditated stuff. You know, you decide that you're going to do wrong. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between man, that's second degree murder and first degree murder. One is premeditated, one is the heat of passion. You understand? It's different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. All right.
First degree murder, right. Second degree, first degree murder is different.
That's right, okay. Now, here it is, this fourth kingdom that we're dealing with. The Bible tells us that Daniel 8,
okay.
And verse 23 tells us about this king. I want y'all to pay attention because this is going to explain why Donald Trump is acting so crazy.
Daniel chapter 8, verse 23.
You know what? I'll give you a forewarning. Every single president, you know that they are related to one of about four or five specific people. Y'all know who they are? Here we go. I got something for you. I always try to give y'all a little something extra. You understand?
Come on with it.
Okay. They're either related to Charlemagne. Y'all ever heard of him?
Nope. No.
Charlemagne, huh?
France.
There you go. Charlemagne, who reigned in 800 AD. You know what his goal was? To unite the Roman kingdom. To unite the European kingdom again. And he called it the Holy Roman Empire. But Voltaire, who is an historian, said his empire was hardly an empire, and it was anything but holy. Okay? So he failed. Why? Because this man just read you in Daniel 2 that they're going to try to cleave together, but they ain't going to cleave together. They're not going to do it. They're not going to have supremacy over God's earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he gave it to the children of men. He created it not in vain, but to be inhabited.
That's
what
right.
The Bible says.
That's right.
Okay? So they either related to Charlemagne, Charles V. Y'all remember when Martin Luther gave his Here I Stand?
Right.
I can do no other. God help me, amen. It was before Charles V. Charles V wanted to kill Luther. And he was mad. Because the Holy Ghost said, you couldn't do nothing with that man. All heaven came down and was by Martin Luther. If they had dared to touch him, God would have killed them all. And listen, remember I told y'all about the sorcery?
Yeah.
Ellen White says that he was so that the darkness that enshrouded their minds was so thick, Providence had it that Martin Luther had to speak to them in Latin and German. And when he spoke to them in Latin, that weakened the hold of the enemy. When he spoke to them in German, that took down the hold. And they couldn't believe what this man just said. It freed their minds. So much so that it called, y'all, listen, read your history books. Charles V, hey, what's that man's name? Attila the Hun, I believe it was at his gates? And he like, I demand y'all to help me. They said, we ain't helping you with nothing. Attila can come and tear up this kingdom, but you're gonna let us worship God the way we want, or else we ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And they had a boy. And they, hey, you want help? You want to let me work? You want, write it down. Here it is, we signed it. You signed it too. Let us worship God as we will. Okay?
Yep.
Louis XIV, his summarized kingdom, Napoleon Bonaparte. Y'all know that Trump is related to Napoleon, right?
Yeah.
Y'all know Hillary was related to Napoleon, right? Yeah. Y'all know that Barack Obama was too, right? Y'all know that Bush was too, right? Y'all know, and listen what Napoleon says. Napoleon said, I want to found a European system, a European code of law, a European court of appeals. There would have been one people throughout Europe. Europe would soon have become one nation. That was Napoleon's goal, to unite Europe as one nation. And y'all, all of our presidents are related to these people. Why? Why? Because they're raised from youth knowing that they got an agenda.
Right.
To bring America back over to the Roman Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
Barack's name was Barack just a few years ago, maybe like 12 to 15 years ago. That man's name was Barry Servitorum. Y'all didn't know that, did y'all?
Yeah.
Jesuit trained and raised.
Yep.
Jesuit trained and raised. Yes! I don't care what color he was, he still was doing the agenda of the enemy.
Yes,
you understand me?
Yeah.
John Baptist, I leave that alone. Y'all know Dusabo. He was a conquistador.
Yep.
Huh?
Conquistador.
That's, come on now, what language is that?
Conquistador.
Uh-huh, Spanish.
Spanish.
The Spaniards and the attack, come on, y'all. Roman.
Yep.
But Jesus preached that ethnicity would play a part before he came. He said, nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. When you look up the word nation in Greek, it is the word ethnicito, which in English is ethnic group. He said that ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group. Why? To distract humanity.
Race against race.
You know, that's one of the reasons I thank God that Christ didn't come during the Great Ethnic Awakening. Because many of the Adventist people, the Advent people, not Seventh-day Adventist, Advent people, many of them were slave owners, but they loved Jesus. They didn't know what they were. Rome told them that it was okay. Rome told them it was okay to have slaves. And y'all talking about Rome, didn't you? Yes, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, they did. Come on, Chris. Me and you had a conversation not too long ago. When Leopold went over to the Congo, when the only reason that they won against the Moors, and the Catholic Church hated the Moors because the Moors were teaching the people what was right,
yep. They
hated them. Yep. Told them that the world wasn't flat, the world was round, and you were going to fall off of it. Told them that you need to stop peeing in the pots and throwing it out the window. Y'all remember that you got a pot to pee in on the window going out of? Yes. Told them, y'all gotta stop doing that. Y'all gotta establish sewer systems. Why y'all getting so dark over here? Put some street lights up. Put a flame up there. What y'all doing? And they hated them. And could not successfully defeat them. So you know what they did? The gun. Not just the gun. Not just the gun power. But the cartridge. Was it this?
Right.
And specifically, the Maxim machine gun. And they begin to plow them down. So, honey, understand something. Christ is coming. And listen, either he gonna come for you, or you gonna be coming for him. You either gonna be among that crowd that's gonna march against the holy city, or among the crowd that's gonna be in the holy city. I have cast my lot to be with Jesus eternally. How about you?
Amen.
Come on, let's say that we. How about you?
Amen.
Let's close out in prayer.
Yes,
that's
it.
I feel great.
Yes, it does. It's prophetic. Amen.
I'm more sure of the promise.
Yes,
amen.
Very sure.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Amen, your God. Our kingdom is sovereign. Lord, you try to cram so much into 45 minutes. But I thank you, Father, though I couldn't get to the end, you're going to take us all the way to the end.
thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray that you would save us, that we would be on the side of Jesus and decide to get ourselves together. And Father, to keep the Sabbath holy and not breach our relationship between Christ and us. For Christ said the Sabbath was made for the man and not made for the Sabbath. I declare that no man can be a true man unless he keeps the Sabbath. The Bible says. So bless us to gird ourselves up like men and women of Christ and ready for the Sabbath. In Jesus' name and for his sake, for my Bible for the words of worship. Amen. And this is the Lord.
Amen. Amen.